Hilchos Leino discusses the parameters of pricing. How much you're allowed to charge for an item, and to what extent you're allowed to take advantage of a counterparty who doesn't, who may not be aware of the true value of whatever the good or service that you're negotiating over. Now this topic, and these halachos, are drastically different in halacha than in civil law. In civil law, if you buy an item, you agree that there's no fraud, there's no misrepresentation, you pay for the item, you walk out of the store, you go down the block, and you see that it's available, readily available, at half the price. You have no recourse. The seller didn't fool you, he didn't lie to you. There was a bargain, you agreed to pay a higher price. The price that you agreed to, the price that you paid, is the price that sticks. Halacha's attitude is very different. Taking advantage of a buyer or seller who doesn't recognize the true value of an item is called oino'ah and is asur midoraisa. Now let's start with an example. You're looking for a car. You're in the market for a used car. You're looking around. You want a car that's in good condition, not too old. It'll last a long time. And one day your neighbor mentions, it's an elderly couple, they're moving down to Florida, and they're interested in selling their car. Perfect. Car was driven by older people, highway mileage, well maintained. You ask how much they want for the car. They tell you $7,000. Now these people aren't very sophisticated. They've never gone online to check the Blue Book value. And you know good and well that the true market value of the car is $10,000. So what do? They ask for $7,000. Hey, write out a check. You hand it to them on the spot. You buy the car. You've just been over in Issur D'oraisa. Being ma'ane someone, which can in some cases means ripping off a buyer. When a merchant charges a buyer more than the true market value of an item. Or ripping off a seller. If the seller, in this case, the couple that owned the car, didn't recognize its true value, and you therefore pay underpaid, that is oino. Although, again, there was no fraud, you didn't fool them, you didn't walk in and tell her, listen, the car was only worth $5,000, but I'll give you $7,000. She asked for $7,000, you handed her $7,000, it was her mistake. There is still an issur d'oraisa, an issur oino, of going through, of buying the car. You would have a responsibility to tell the seller what the true market value of a car is, and then, if they still agree to sell it for the lower price, that's fine. They have the knowledge, they have the right to be moichel, they have the right to sell it for a lower price. But in the absence of that, if they don't recognize it's a mistake, they don't realize what it's really worth, and you underpay, it's going to be usur. Now, on paper, this sounds very simple. You have to charge fair market value for an item. In practice, the details can get very complicated. How do we determine fair market value for goods? If I own a store, how do I know what I'm entitled to charge for this item? So there are a few parameters. The first point is that oino'ah has nothing to do with profit margin. It doesn't matter how much you paid for the goods. You could have gotten it as a present. You could be a manufacturer. It's irrelevant. Hilchos Oinoah says that the price has to be consistent with its true market value. You go out into the street. You walk into another couple of stores. You see what its price is in the marketplace. Hilchos Oinoah says you have to comply. Your price has to be within range, within its true market value. So we don't look necessarily at your markup. We don't necessarily look at how much profit you're making. You're free to make however much of a markup that the market will support. But once there is a market value, there's a price that the goods have, you walk into check out different stores, then the halacha is you have to sell it for that price. You can't raise it above that price, and you can't buy it from an unsuspecting seller at below that price. Now, there are different levels of oino'ah. If the Inoy is equal or greater than 1/6 of the market value, the price is worth, the goods are worth $60, you're selling it for $70. That is a clear case of Inoy. That's clearly a case where there's an Isser D'Oraisa. And the buyer will have the right to demand either a refund of the money overcharged or to completely return the goods. That will depend on the level of Inoy. We're not going to go into the details of that right now. If it's less than, if it's within 1/6 of the true market value, now as the car costs its true market value is $6,000, and you're selling it for $6,500. The discrepancy is less than 1/6. There, the buyer, if the transaction is done, the parties have no recourse. The sale stands. You can't demand a refund. You can't try to bring back the item. You don't have the recourse that's typically available to someone who is the victim of Inoy. However, there's an interesting Shiloh, the Rosh in Bava Metzia, is unsure whether this means that you are allowed to charge a bit higher, a bit below the market value, a bit above the market value. As long as it's under a sixth, it's considered a fair price and it's mutter, there's nothing wrong with it. That's one possibility. Or the Rosh says perhaps no. Perhaps a seller has to charge the exact true market value. If you're off by even a small amount, a small fraction, the Rosh says, perhaps you violated Inoy. Perhaps you're guilty of violating an Issa D'Oraisa. However, there's no recourse. Because it's a minor discrepancy, it's very difficult to litigate. You'll try to bring him in front of a Bezdin, you'll try to prove you were ripped off. You'll have to bring in professionals, you'll have to bring in other people to assess its true market value. If it's under a sixth, it's not worth the hassle. It's almost impossible to prove to prove your case, and therefore there'll be mechila. The buyer, the seller, is willing to waive his rights. However, with this understanding, the Rosh says, it would be usur to charge, to overcharge, even by less than a sixth. There may not be recourse, but you're doing the wrong thing. You violated an isser. Now, the Rosh doesn't come out. He doesn't paskin either way. It's a suffix. He's unsure whether a person has the right to charge, raise the price by less than a sixth. And therefore, as a matter of halacha, the Mechaber paskins in Siman Reish Chav Zayin, that a Yorei Shemayim, a person certainly should be machmer, a person certainly should make every effort to make sure that his prices are completely consistent with the market value. And he should not put himself in a situation where, according to the Rosh, he may possibly violate an Issa D'Oraisa. Now, how do we figure out what its true market value, what an item's true market value is? So there are a couple of basic rules we have to keep in mind. The first is we have to look at the location where the goods are being sold. If you buy a drink in Midtown Manhattan, you're going to pay more than if you buy, you buy that same drink somewhere in Jersey. You have to look at the marketplace. You have to look at where you are. You have to look at the location. And we have to compare it to where the transaction is taking place. The second thing you have to look at is you have to look at the level of services. 8 ounces of soda that's in a 2-liter bottle that's bought at a grocery is going to have one value. That same drink that's being served in a hotel lobby is going to be worth a multiple of the bottle of soda. The difference is clearly the service. You're not just getting a 2-liter bottle that you're taking home. You're sitting in a restaurant or in a hotel lounge. And therefore, it's important that when you want to try to claim Inoy, you have to make sure you're comparing apples to apples. You're dealing with the same type of establishment, the same type of service. Now, as a practical matter, it is very often difficult to prove with precision the exact true market value of an item. Today also, many goods do not have such clearly defined values. In different stores, there's a certain amount of fluctuation, and you'll find different prices in different stores. So as a practical matter, it's very often difficult to prove a case. It's very rare for a person to come to Bezdin and prevail on a claim of Inoy. However, that doesn't mitigate the seller's responsibilities. If he knows the true market value of an item, and he knows this is that the price that he would like to sell it for is above that value, that would be an issur d'oraisa, regardless of whether he'll get caught. Now, to claim oino, you have to act immediately. A buyer, as soon as he purchases an item, has to go figure out whether the price was fair, and if it wasn't, he has to go back to the seller immediately. If he delays, if he waits, he'll lose his right to claim oino. Now again, the seller has violated an isser by overcharging him. However, the buyer will not have recourse. He will not be able to prevail in Beis Din and force the seller to give him a refund. Now, the most common cases of oino are really on specialized or custom-made goods. When you're dealing with commodities, everyone knows how much a bottle of milk or a loaf of bread costs, and it's very rare to have oino on these type of commodities. Where it's more common is when you're dealing with either custom-made goods, you're dealing with, a used car, which there are a lot of variables, or you're dealing with real estate. Someone who is not an expert, someone who's not in the field, may not recognize the true value of a particular parcel. He may not understand the zoning requirements. And these are cases where oino is, in theory at least, much more practical. However, we have a rule. The Gemara tells us, ein oino lekarkois. Oino applies only to movable items. It does not apply to real estate. And therefore, if we understand this rule, we take it at face value, it would seem that when I'm buying or selling real estate, there are no limitations. I can charge whatever I want. And in the flip side, if I find a seller who doesn't recognize the true value and he offers it to me at a low price, I can take it. I don't have to inform him. Again, clearly, I cannot do any gnivus das. I cannot make any misrepresentations. I can't fool him or represent to him that the value is wrong. The question here is simply, if you're offered it at a low price, can you buy it? Or do you have an obligation to inform the seller of what its true value is? However, even by real estate, although ein oino lekarkois, there are two important tanoim. The first is that according to many shitos, ein oino lekarkois means that the parameters of oino do not apply. This guideline of a sixth do not apply to real estate. However, if I'm charging double the price, or if I'm paying only less than half of the value, according to many rishonim, there will be oino even by real estate. Secondly, even when you're dealing with less than a sixth, there are many rishonim that say that ein oino lekarkois means there's no recourse to oino that involves real estate. If you overcharge someone for a property or if you underpay, there's no recourse. He cannot undo the transaction. However, according to many rishonim, nevertheless, the isser applies. By selling a property for more than a sixth above its true value, by buying it at a discount greater than a sixth, that will, according to these Yerushalayim, will be usur. There may be no recourse. You will get away with it as far as a Beis Din is concerned, but an isur d'oraisa was certainly violated, and it's certainly not the right way to go. Now, oino applies to services as well. There's actually a chiluk in the Rishonim. If you have a salaried worker, if you have a poyel, he is compared to karka. He is similar to real estate, and therefore the oino will not apply. Again, if it's more than double, it may. The isser may apply according to the shitas similar to real estate, but the recourse will not apply. However, if you're dealing with a kavod, if you're dealing with an independent contractor, there things are less clear. There, some rishonim say oino will apply, which means if you hire someone to do a job for you, an independent contractor, they come in, they give you a quote, they start the work, you then realize that this quote was not consistent with the fair market value of the goods, the halacha would be is that would be oino, and you'd have the right to refuse to pay that extra. Now again, hilchos oino has many details. There are many limitations. There are many parameters. The point of the shiur is not to go through every one of the details and to explain each and every one of the dikduke halacha. The point is awareness. When you're setting a price, if you're in business, you have to realize that if someone walks into your establishment simply because they look naive and you know you can take advantage of them, you're probably over violating an isadoi raisa by doing so. And therefore, this is a topic which you are, if you are involved in buying and selling and negotiating, it's important that you take the time to become aware of at least the basic halachas and the basic parameters of Hilchos Einoah. Thank you.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Orthodox Union in conjunction with the Beis Havad Institute of Talmudic Law, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.